the world, I'm John Batchelor. The second calendar year of the war in Europe, watching from the Black Sea Basin, Antonia Colabashanu of Geopolitical Futures. She is an analyst at a subscription site I heartily recommend. Watching the war from the front lines, Romania is on the front lines, deeply involved in the preparation for a catastrophe, at the same time training and looking to the future for the strength of NATO across all of Europe following the invasion of Ukraine. We begin, however, with Antonia's remarks most recently about what we're now witnessing, a global realignment, anticipating the time after the battles cease or there is a ceasefire, and what this means for trade, and especially for the great big word of the turn of the century, globalization. Antonia, a very good day to you. Thank you very much. Your measure of globalization. Right now, there's hesitation because of sanctions. There's hesitation because of supply chain. Certainly, the COVID is still with us, raging in China. What do you anticipate we will witness sometime in the near future about trade? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and thank you for having me. And Happy New Year, since we're first speaking in 2023 this time. Globalization has kind of lost its thunder for a while now, but the war in Ukraine has clearly made it to a sort of a tipping point, if not to a sort of an ending point for globalization in the sense of free trade or freer trade and investment and free-flowing investment at the global stage. Of course, we will have globalization in the sense of interconnectivity. Like, people will still use this wonderful technology that allows me to speak to you, and probably even better technology in the future. But we are clearly getting fearful of investing further away from home when it comes to businesses. And the war in Ukraine has not caused this by any means, but it accelerated a trend that was already undergoing because of the current global economic war that is between Russia and the West. So what happened there is that everyone in the West had become more cautious about doing business with Russia. Everyone in Russia had become more cautious about doing business with the West. And everyone in between had been put in a position of choosing. And in choosing, it means that you basically evaluate costs and you have to deal with how much profit am I getting from doing business with the West vis-a-vis how much profit am I getting doing business with Russia and so on. So this all has kind of caused a switch in mentality and in business mentality, which basically meant a recalculation in practice, obviously triggering policy response from the governments, not only in the West and in Russia, but also elsewhere in countries that were kind of neutral. This trend was undergoing. So, for instance, during COVID, we were thinking about investing further away from home and closer to home, like friendshoring, reshoring, just because we didn't want to deal with the supply chain collapse that we dealt with, and we didn't have to deal with the problems that we dealt with when China went in full lockdown, for instance. But the war in Ukraine basically told us that we really need to be careful where we invest. We really need to be careful how we trade. And we need to calculate a million times before we put our money into a new business.
My focus here is on Romania looking at the world for trade. The Reuters is reporting that Romania is enjoying an economy that is stronger than its neighbors and stronger than the collective ambition for the EU in the new year. Do you see this evidence of prosperity around you in Bucharest? And is this a product of government policies, or is this just windfall from the catastrophes around us?
It's a combination, I would say, as to whether I see it or not. I see many people being worried. It is actually the first season that I am seeing worries being stronger than optimism. Also because this is winter, even if it's a mild winter, the Romanians are worried about what's going to come in the new year, considering that no one really sees an end to the war next door. And obviously, inflation is growing up in Romania, too. However, it is growing less than it is growing elsewhere. And this is because of Romania having its own energy production and because of the government and the business environment kind of consulted more than it did before. It is also a product of political stability. Romania did not enjoy much political stability in its recent history. And I have to say that with the coalition government, there is political stability these days, and this makes things better. However, we are still talking about measures that would protect the population. So obviously, while the government is talking about what kind of measures need to be implemented to protect the population, the population gets the impression that things are going to get worse before they get better. Now, because Romania is a frontier state, it is obviously taking business from Ukraine and taking business from Russia, even with companies looking to reshore, companies in the West that were active in Russia and Ukraine, looking to reshore their business closer to those markets, but not in those markets anymore. In the Black Sea region, Romania is the obvious place to put your money in because of geography to start with, and also because of a more aggressive mood, if you like, from the Romanian state and business environment with regards to making everything possible that is in our power to adjust to the war in Ukraine when it comes to new infrastructure, to new centers that allow a better flow of trade between Ukraine and the West and Africa, be involved at all kinds of levels with regards to trade within the Black Sea area. So all of this has sent a positive message to investors, to businesses relocating in the area, and statistically, it shows. Now, the mood is not necessarily better. It's kind of, okay, let's see what's next.
Yes, fossil fuels, you have it. Good for you. Hydrocarbons, you've had them for many decades into the 20th century. However, you report that there's been underinvestment in your fossil fuel capacity. At the same time, there's been what you'd have to say, vigorous investment in renewables that are proving disappointing. Do you expect that trend to continue, or is the investment in your fossil fuel business showing revival?
Well, this is more at the general level, which is also true for Romania's case as well. But in general, in the energy sector, we have seen this trend where there has been less investment in the fossil fuel sector because of the momentum that the renewables had. And while there was a momentum, no one really jumped into investing to make the renewables grow, which means that everyone was kind of, okay, let's see how it's going. We're not trusting this much, but at some point we will put in some more money when it will be fully trustable, which means that we are now in a situation in Europe in particular where there is less infrastructure available for LNG, for instance, or even for development into the fossil fuels capacities that we still have. One example in Romania, for instance, is the Black Sea resources that have been much talked about. Romania wanted to, exploit that. There was political ramblings around it. Political instability caused for the project not to go online. And now everyone is trying to accelerate investment into the fossil fuel, in particular in that Black Sea area, which obviously needs security protection more than it did before because of the war. But the trend is to get more money and put the money in the right assets, which is fossil fuel and new infrastructure. So yes, there is this trend. And I think that everywhere in Europe, at least, and everywhere in the energy sector at the global level, we are going to see more investment into new infrastructure and less investment into everything that is supporting the green adventure, in a sense, because the green adventure needs research and development, and that's expensive and that is risky. And we are not in a place where risk is very fashionable. Everyone is trying to save money, not to put in money into risky projects.
You're right of technology. In specific to Romania, is technology, especially the social media platforms that gain much attention here in the United States because of what is presumed to be influence peddling, even distortion of our election process. Do you have the same dialogue in Romania about social media undermining the credibility of your election process or of your culture?
We do have pretty much similar problems. And in some cases, even more items referring to the fake news phenomenon. That is a creation of Russian propaganda fighting the Western propaganda. Remember, Romania is on the front line. So we get all the attention from all sides. That means that not only that the politics are subject into the social media platform of all sorts of fake news, propaganda, whatever, but also some particular topics like energy security that we were just talking about. That is a topic that is very much discussed and debated in the European front line, not only in Romania, but also in places like Poland or Hungary, where there are all kinds of groupings being formed in social media. And I'm not an expert by all means. There are others that can talk for hours. But to my understanding, basically, the social media is providing a space for trolls, for fake news makers, for policy makers that are not necessarily on the good side, let's say, to debate things with whatever strategies that the state is pursuing. And being on the front line means that you have a lot of activity. So yes, that is an issue.
Antonia Kolobashanu, an analyst for Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site. She's in Romania, Bucharest, and often we've referred to the war. When we come back, the 101st Airborne, air defense, Romania on the front line. What does it mean here in 23 with no end in sight in Ukraine? I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.